I have I think a good announcement, may be sad for some of you, but I've decided in a year and 2 months to be my last sermon as the head pastor. 45 years at that time. Say, why? Well, it's a little bit of health, but mostly it's just the right thing to do. My son's ready, and I can make a assured that you will not miss a beat here, and he's prepared. I will also, at some time, bring in Pastor Paul to where my son was. In case something would happen to my son, he will be voted by secret ballot to be the successor of my son. It's not easy. I've thought about it and prayed about it, but I'm convinced it's of God. That's a long time, isn't it, to be one pastor to one church. The founding. I'm so proud of this church. You all have been so supportive. You've been so good to me. And there's no church like this. Now, maybe there was some dispute that, but I'm retiring. I can say anything I want. There is no church like this. There's churches that have the gospel on paper, and our sister churches, of course, I'm not talking about. But when it comes to practice, the majority will have something wrong in their gospel. On paper, it is correct, but they don't emphasize the clear gospel. So I'll still be here as head pastor until September 18th, 2016. So I'm not just leaving immediately. And then I'll still preach here, but my son's ready. He's getting better and better. I tell you, he's been preaching sermons that are so good. So today, I decided to kind of warn people about following a pastor, the devil's age-old tactic to undermine God's messenger. Well, we have a church of unity, and I praise God for that. I really do. Well, I've had a lot of people that have left, and they don't like me at all. But there's no preacher on earth that's done anything that doesn't have a lot of people that don't like them. They all have them. Even some preachers you'd never believe, even the head of the Lordship Salvation, which we are not, has a lot of negatives. And Dr. Ryrie had lots of negatives, and everybody does. Dr. Ball, we all do. But you people have been nothing but positive. And I thank God for that. There's nothing quite like that. But the devil's tactic is always to undermine the pastor's credibility. Now, all that we have is credibility. When you lose believing in your pastor, you've lost everything. So we're going to see some things here that I think are critically important. First of all, in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, I have some verses for you. I have some that aren't listed yet because they were just, I don't know how far I will get. He gave some, Ephesians 4, 11, apostles, some prophets. We don't have apostles and prophets now. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and most people say pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What have we been talking on in Corinthians? Build up the body of Christ. That's our job, is to build up the body of Christ, to build up each other. We're all connected. Then 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the grain. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. See, there's always checks and balances in the Bible, just like our Constitution is supposed to do. Right now, it's kind of overbalanced, and it seems like the Congress doesn't have the power it should have. The president has too much power. But there's checks and balances for a pastor or for anybody else. In politics, someone will get up and say, I don't like George W. Bush, or I don't like Obama, President Obama. And then President Obama or President Bush can get up and say, well, I don't like them. But a pastor, it's different. If you get up and go against a pastor, and you don't tell the pastor, and you destroy his credibility, that's all that we have. If we don't have credibility, we have nothing. Our credibility is everything. So when a person is secretly going around and saying things and not telling the person they're saying them about, why does it say here, receive not an accusation but between two or three witnesses? There's a checks and a balance. You still do it. Now remember, when it says that, it means, obviously it doesn't say it, but it means the person being accused is there too. It means that. I mean, you can't read it and take it any other way. So two or three witnesses. So if something's so serious that you feel that the pastor's doing something he shouldn't be doing, there's a way. But it has to be two or three witnesses with the pastor there, the elder. Has to be. Now, if it's not where you can do that, according to the Word of God, that's what we follow here. We don't follow praise of man. We don't follow what our gut feelings say. We follow the Word of God. Period. Pastor Jim is not me. He's my son, but he's not me. Every son is not the father, and every father is not the son. But the Word of God means the same thing. Always means the same thing. We have two men up here that could be the preacher. And this church won't miss a beat. But you still have to follow what the Word of God says. And if something is serious enough that you want to have some witnesses, you have to do it with witnesses, two or three, in front of the person that is being accused. How many times have people, they get their, I don't know, someone whispers something and they get into this mode and they start thinking, well, that might be. And then the pastor says something that's unrelated, but in their mind, it's related. They never go to the pastor. They never once come to a pastor. Just recently, I had a person that I thought the world of, I did a lot for, and all of a sudden he just sort of changed. He got different, and he all of a sudden was just weird. Well, someone must have said something or something, but he never would say. And it hurt me so much. But shouldn't the person being accused at least be told? That's just not fair. Especially not fair to a pastor, right? Why? Because it says the way you're supposed to do it. If you can't do it that way and someone's telling you something. We had a couple of our college kids talking about burnout. Burnout? How could you have burnout? I couldn't believe burnout. You know how hard I worked in college? 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I went to college full time. Now, don't talk about burnout. Just don't talk about it because it can't be. Boy, you're young. Young people can't burn out. Older people might burn out, but not young people. What an idiocy. Burnout? But people hear stuff, and they don't ever go to the person. Do you know how many times I've had either a wife or a husband come and they'll say, you can't believe what my spouse is doing. And I always say, well, let's get both of you in. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. What do you mean, no, 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 no? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, then I'm not going to accept what you said if you're not willing to face the person. Oh, no, 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 no. My dad was a Methodist preacher, and he used to have those kind of things. And he had a guy coming in, and he's just knocking the person. So he gave him a piece of paper and said, write it down, everything you just said, and sign it. No, 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 no. You will not know how many times people don't want the other side. But shouldn't you hear the other side about a pastor? Do you know how many times in my, so far, 44 years almost, how many times I've had people come with two or three witnesses to accuse me? Anybody want to guess? Zero. Never. Now, I've never done anything to be accused of. I've never had dirty magazines. I've never secretly snuck out with some woman. I've never done any of those things. So they can't, because I haven't. If I had, they would have. Trust me. They would have, but I haven't. But I've had lots of people. Remember the one, I didn't read it myself. I don't look at the internet, but what they said. Well, one person said, because I don't like Halloween, they were ruined for life. What? Ruined for life? You go trick or treat all day long. I don't care. You're not ruined for life, you idiots. Ruined for life? Because you couldn't trick or treat? Well, I think it's pretty silly. It is a devil's holiday. It is all that stuff. But that's pretty silly, isn't it? Against an elder, receive not an accusation. Two or three witnesses. You know, we are a Bible-believing and teaching church. People say, well, why is your church? Why is your church so dedicated? Only one reason. Only one reason. Because we teach the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. If you don't like something that I'm doing, or you think I'm preaching something wrong, that's when you should confront it. Like the elder thing. You think that's wrong? Don't receive an accusation without two or three witnesses. Do you think that's from me, or is that from God? Of course, that is from God. It's not from me. Doesn't matter what I say. But we have taught almost 44 years, verse by verse. And we believe every word of the Bible. But we get upset. And if it's something that's not going to be two or three witnesses in the front of the person, you better drop it. According to the Word of God, right? It's not according to the Word of me or Pastor Jim or Pastor Paul or Pastor David or Pastor Mark or Dr. Howell. It's the Word of God. Look at Acts 20, 28 through 31. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. See, it's not easy to be a pastor. Do you think there's any perfect pastor that ever lived? Never. Except for Christ, of course. Was the Apostle Paul perfect? No. Was the Apostle Peter perfect? No. But he's still supposed to obey. For I know this, that after my departing, so grievous wolves enter into among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn you, every one night and day with tears. Oh, he loved those people. But people would come in and they want to get a following. Oh, we've had that so many times. I'll never forget we had a family. Now listen, I don't care what you all eat. If you're vegetarian, I'll fight for that. I don't care. All I say is I didn't fight my way to the top of the food chain to eat vegetables. I don't care what you, I mean, if that's what you, I don't really care. But don't spread it around, because biblically you can't do that. Because biblically we can eat meat. Now, if you don't eat meat, it's not a sin. I don't care. But we had a family and they were only Old Testament. Only, they only eat the Old Testament food. Now, that would be a pretty good meal, but that's what they were. So I told, they came up to me and they said, do you mind if we come here and just eat Old Testament food? I said, no, you have the liberty to do that, but you're not allowed to spread it because we're a New Testament church. And they said, we will not spread it. We promise you. Now, I don't know why I'm picking on Mike Darlin lately, but they go right to Mike Darlin right after they said that and told him that he should only eat Old Testament. Right after that. And they were spreading it all over. Now, I'm not against homeschoolers. My grandkids homeschooled. Pastor Dan homeschools. Pastor Matt Floyd homeschools. Lots of people homeschool. I'm not against it. But I'm against the homeschool families that don't believe in a church. Now, that 19 and counting and the... Now, listen. I wouldn't think it's good to have 19 kids. But if you can afford it and you're not working at our church, go at it. I don't care. Congressman Phil Crane had 9 kids. I don't care. I don't have to pay for it. If you bring 19 kids, I'd be thrilled. What a basketball and a volleyball team we would have. The Duggars. I shared with you, they all came up and shook my hand and called me pastor. I didn't even know who they were. I'd never watched them. And Pastor Paul's going, that's a big deal. I said, well, are they some kind of missionary group? They order tracts from us. Isn't that good? Well, if they can have 19 kids as good as they've done, God bless them. And let the stupid news people, don't get me going. It's not worth going. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Boy, if you once lose faith in your pastor and you never came to him, isn't it only fair to come and say, I heard this, and let him tell his side? Isn't that fair? Well, I think it's only fair. We've had families that, you know, they'd leave and they'd get upset and they say stuff, and they never came to us. Never once. I had a lady once tell me that she knew more Bible than I would ever know. I couldn't believe it. She said it. She knew more Bible than I would ever know. And she said, I'm to forgive 70 times 7 is about a child. I said, yeah, but how about all the verses that say, those avoid those that walk not after the doctrines that we teach? What about those verses? And she said, I know more Bible than you'll ever know. Okay. I didn't argue it, of course. You're not going to win if she's come to that conclusion. A false conclusion, of course, because I basically preached through the same Bible 3 times. I preached nothing but verse by verse. And even if I'm an idiot, I know more than she knows, which I'm not an idiot. I might be close, but I'm not an idiot. And someone says, well, isn't this hard to give this up? Yeah, a little bit. It's hard. But this church means more to me. Now, I want you to hear this. It means more to me than my family. It means more to me than my grandkids. This church means more to me than anything on this earth. And I want to do what's right for this church. Not what's right for me, but what's right for this church. And if your family means more to you than the church means to you, there's something wrong in your life, and you're not a spiritual person. You're just not a spiritual person. Well, I've been taught family. Well, I don't care what you've been taught. I'm just telling you the Word of God. The church has to be above all. Now, I love my kids. I'd die for them in a second. I'd die for my grandkids, and especially the one that's not born yet. We're going to call her Smoke. No, we're not. I hope that's not the name. That's a secret, personal joke that I'm not going to say what it was. Got something to do with someone sitting here. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. To know them and esteem them very highly. But many people are carnal. They're carnal. My son-in-law has gone through a lot. And he had these men that stood up and just said vicious, awful things about him. In a meeting, vicious, terrible things. And they didn't believe that you should ever mention money in church. You know why? Because they didn't give any money. So if you don't give money, you don't want anybody to say anything about money. But the Word of God does. If the Word of God does, we do, right? Amen. That's right. We do. And we will, and we always will. But many times God's men are doing exactly right. How about in the Garden of Eden? What did Eve say? Devil comes and questions the God of all creation. Do you really know that what God's trying to do, if you eat, you will wind up knowing more than him? I think the devil was the first evolutionist. We don't believe in a God. We believe that somehow, some way, we evolved. I don't know how anybody can believe that. I really don't. I mean, I know you've been conditioned, and I know they've been telling you that, and I know what they say about that. But how do you believe that? I just don't know how you do it. I really don't. I don't believe that. I believe there's a God. The spies were sent into the land. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses. There's lots of them. And the 10 of them said, we can't. They're too big. They're giants and we're little old grasshoppers. Now listen, if I was going to say something in comparison, I wouldn't call myself a grasshopper. Would you? I don't think so. Joshua and Caleb said, Caleb says, let's go in and get them. Yeah, they're big. But not as big as our God. See, Caleb and Joshua believe the Word of God. You know who they are, right? Can you name the 10 spies? Spurgeon had many people vote against him, 5,000 preachers, even his own brother. You don't know the name of any of the 5,000, but you know the name of Charles Spurgeon. But they came to untruthful conclusions. God said, I'll take care of you. We always do what God says. That's why we're being blessed. What was their conclusion? Let's replace Moses. And what did Moses have to do with this thing? What did Moses have to do with this? But they want to replace Moses. Well, back in those days, it was a little bit easier for someone like Moses because they just open up the ground. Whoop! They're gone. Boy, I wish that would happen. Some of you go against a pastor, don't follow the biblical. You walk outside, ground opens up. Pew! Boy, I bet you we'd have really sincere people here. Don't you say anything. Pew! They came up on false conclusions. Jeremiah, I always like this. They said in Jeremiah 26:11, you don't need to turn there. The man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against us, as you have heard with your own ears. I've heard people do that with me. I had a man telling everybody that I claimed that I spoke directly with God. Well, let me say it clearly, as I've said over and over. I have never heard God's voice audibly, but I have heard God's voice inaudibly many, many times. I heard God's voice when it was time for me to talk to my son a couple weeks ago. Then I wanted to talk to the board. I wanted to do it right. But I talked to my son. I knew it was God's will. God was leading me. I didn't hear his voice, but I knew it was him. I knew the church would be better to have my son come than to have me right now, not because of my health, but a little bit about that, but I just know it's right. I know that God's led us. He's led this church over many, many times and many, many miles. Obey the voice of the Lord. But carnal people, they come to the conclusion to destroy the messenger instead of heeding the message. Most of you have always heeded the message. Most all of you have. Not all of you. I've had some great disappointments with some of you not obeying what the Word of God says, especially with your children. Some of you I have called many times to many people a Joe and a Bill Norris, but it didn't always follow. And it was very painful. It's not only going to hurt you, it's not going to hurt me, it's going to hurt you. But they wouldn't hearken. People undermine the pastors and they say, easy here, because we're really going against the flow. And it's easy to say, here, well, we don't do what the others do. We don't have the wild music that the others have. Why do you think most of the churches are going toward being a Calvinist? Did you hear what that was? It? What's the name of it? Is it Westboro? They went out and protested Biden's son's funeral. Those are a bunch of idiots. But that's what they did. But they said, here's what they believe. Only certain ones are born to go to heaven. And it's not a very big group. Most people are born without a chance to go to an eternal hell. Isn't that a great thing to teach to the world? If you really believe that, why would you go protest Biden? Now, I don't agree with Vice President Joe Biden in anything. Do you get it? But people say, oh, I've had this hundreds and hundreds of times. They come in and they want to tell me something about somebody else or something. And they always say, well, there's a lot of people agree with me. Now, they don't do it so much anymore, but they did it a lot. And I said, well, who agrees with you? Oh, I can't tell. Wait a minute. If you're going to come in and tell me what you don't agree with and a lot of people agree with you, tell me their names. Oh, I can't do that. Wait a minute. You can come and tell me there's a lot of people who don't agree, but you won't tell their names? Well, it turns out to be the other people, usually their wife, their children down to 3 years old, and maybe one other. But see, they always want to have people agreeing with them. And when people leave, they don't ever just leave. Now, some do. Very few do they just leave. They have to get on the internet. They have to tell people how many people agree with them. Well, friends, this church is not built on people agreeing with what the world does. This church is built on the Word of God. And it will continue to be built on the Word of God. And my son believes in the Word of God just as much as I do. Pastor Paul believes in the Word of God just as much as I do. And we're not changing. This church is not built on me. This church is built on the Word of God. And that's what we do. Sunday after Sunday, year after year, that's what we have done. That's what we have done. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you received the Word of God which you heard of us. You received it. Now get this. Not as the word of man, but as it is in truth. The word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You have received over the years not the word from me, but the word from God when you preach it. And that's what made this church what it is. What it is. There was a lady, now some of you have heard this story. I've heard it years ago. One of the speakers at one of the graduations from Wakanda gave this. I'm going to give it, not in entirety, but a little bit. A woman was waiting for a flight. She had a lot of hours. She hunted for a book, and she bought a bag of cookies. She was really engrossed in the book, and she was sitting on the floor. Have you seen people like that at airports that sit on the floor and to charge their phones or whatever they're doing? You know, now they've got those quick charger things, and they're free, and you plug in your phone, charges it real quick. But she was sitting on the floor, and she was reading a book, and she was eating her cookies. And there's a guy sitting by her, and he just started helping himself to her cookies. She'd eat one, he'd eat one. She'd eat one, and she was fuming. She was mad. She was trying to read her book, but she's thinking, boy, this ingrate. This man has no gratitude. He's an awful man. So they got down to the last cookie, and he takes his cookie and says, could I share this with you? And he breaks it and shares it. And she is hotter than the hen. She is mad, and she grabs her stuff and stomps onto her plane. And she said to herself, that's the most ungrateful man. I hope I never see him again as long as I live. She gets on the plane, grabs her book, and under her book, unopened, was her bag of cookies. She came to the wrong conclusion because she had the wrong facts. She was everything she called that man, and he was so gracious that he shared his last cookie. Isn't that amazing? So the next time you're at the airport, you sit. Now, I can't sit on the floor anymore. I've been past that a long time. If I got on the floor, I don't know how I'd get back up. I'd have to ask the lady stealing my cookies to help me, I guess. But next time you have a long wait and you get your book, make sure you're eating your cookies. Things like that are funny. I've heard it and you've heard it probably. But sometimes we get the wrong conclusions because we're just not doing it biblically. If they can't come, someone comes to you complaining about me or Pastor Jim, Pastor Paul, you say, well, do you have two more witnesses? And we need to go in front of that person. And if they say no, you say, I won't hear it then unless you're willing to do that. Listen, it's not easy to be a leader. It's the hardest job. And it's harder. Now, I know a lot of you won't agree with this, but I'm resigning so I can say anything I want. The hardest job in the world is not being the president, it's being a pastor. Say, why? Because you care about people's eternal destiny. President doesn't. The only thing we got that's eternal is the Word of God. Those of you who heard Joe Sortman, and he talked about putting on these 3D glasses and that's not reality. The Blackhawks, I know a lot of you are sad today because they lost. I'm sad because they lost. But that's not reality. It's not reality if the Cubs do win the World Series. That's not reality. Reality is only what we do for God and follow the Word. Not assumptions that aren't right. You get what I'm saying? Everybody get that? We have to do what's right. What does the Word of God say? Follow it. You'll never be led astray. Oh, it has been my blessing so many, many times to follow the Word of God. Because I believe in the Word of God. I really believe in it. Well, I did pretty good today, right? Didn't cry too much. Y'all did pretty good too. I appreciate that. you still got me for another 14 months. If you're going to take a vacation, just take a sabbatical. I'm taking off for 14 months, Pastor. Y'all are the best people this earth has ever known. You've defended me. I want you all, though, to what we've done for 40, almost 44 years. Look over here at my right and your left, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. It's not of works. How do you go to heaven? Well, let this handkerchief represent sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, we got to be perfect. Well, Christ was perfect, and he covered us, and he makes us whiter than snow. So we have this old handkerchief, and I put it over my hand, and God looks upon you and me whiter than snow. Why? Because Christ, who never sinned, was made sin for us. And he looks upon you and me in Christ, not of our works. Many of us say, well, we got to go to church and we got to do this. But it's all by Christ. All by Christ. Isn't that good news? He paid it all. All of our sins. But he died, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, had made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us. Isn't that good? God looks upon you and me through his Son, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again, and he sees us without sin. Isn't that great? It really is great. God is so good. Don't you love him? Don't you love him?